A great tempest arose, and Jesus, rising up, commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm sure that whenever anyone comes back from Florida, back to the frozen north, the weather is an obligatory topic of conversation. And yes, thank you, we did have very nice sunny weather during our seminarian's retreat. And I thank you for your prayers for its success. Except one day, a tempest arose on Tuesday, and there was a great wind and rain, and some of the water came in under the door. There was a bit of leaking, and a tornado or two were spotted in the same county. But I think the worst part about having a storm, we get this in Cincinnati whenever the weather is warm, is the build-up to it. That is to say, the sun is clouded over, and the humidity and the barometric pressure rises, and one almost feels a certain sense of heaviness or of oppression. This, I think, is a good image of the soul and of our life. Now, we can, and sometimes we do with seeming success, pray for a moderation in the weather. But the storm in our own soul, why should we wait until the waves are rising high within and the wind and the rain threaten our little bark? When the pressure starts to build, when the sun goes under, when there's that heaviness of heart that comes over you, then do what? Well, St. Francis de Sales says, Vive Jésus, live Jesus. And how are you going to live him? By finding him, by imitating him. Where will you find him, even if you are so many miles from a true mass or a tabernacle which contains him sacramentally? Why? You will always find him in the arms of Mary. I've put this little banner of the Our Lady of Perpetual Help image up today. I want to show you something about it. Do you ever pray with a sacred image, an icon, one that's miraculous, the Mother of Good Counsel, or the Mother of Perpetual Help come to mind? This one shows Jesus running and jumping up into the arms of his mother. If you look at yours, this might be a little bit too small for you all to see, but if you look at your picture of the Mother of Perpetual Help, or visit the larger one here by Our Lady's altar, you will see over our Blessed Lady's right shoulder the Greek capital letters M-P. Now, the P actually is an R in Greek, but that's another story, and it really stands for mater or mother in the Greek language. But when you look at it, you see what? M-P. I knew there was something about M-P, and Father Cicada left a note for me after the first sermon this morning. MP3 is something to do with, I don't know, audio, and you get something, and then eventually you can listen to music if you want to somehow, with an MP3. And that's what I want to ask all of you to do your own MP3. And it will always work for you. I have three M's, and the P is the same. Method. Meekness. Mary. Method with prayer. Meekness with prayer. Mary with prayer. Always with prayer. To be methodical in the spiritual life is such an acknowledged virtue that even the Protestants used to attempt it. Indeed, there is a Protestant sect, the Methodists, who are named after it. They were founded by an Anglican minister, John Wesley, who took a methodical approach to the spiritual life. They say, actually, at the very beginning, he and his followers used to pray the rosary, because that's such a fine, methodical way to meditate the gospel mysteries. St. Francis de Sales, in his calmness, was nothing if not methodical. And he recommends the same to you, as remember, he's the saint who encouraged the laity in their busy lives to have a life of devotion. How? In a word, have a rule, have a kind of a schedule, have a program that you follow, that you've thought about, and you have the main things covered. Do what you must do by method, methodically. Not by mood. You know, if you're in a mood to pray, you pray, and if you're in a mood to clean the house, you clean the house, but if you're not, you don't. Well, that's no way to live. That is not a virtuous way. Think it through. Put God, prayer, the sacraments first, the duties of your state of life after that. And do what you must do always, this is important, with great calm. You will, if you join your methodical approach to that of regular or methodical prayer. Try as much as you can not to run late to things, because when you run late, you tend to get tense, and that tension can lead to a little tempest, can't it? Right there in the soul. And because you're praying, you will be able to be, even as you follow pretty much your routine, charitable, or the word is, I think, condescending to your neighbor, with that kind of a sweet self-control that knows how to show a proper flexibility when called upon. When you practice a devout life, it should make you easier and better to get along with, not worse. More considerate, not less, of those with whom you live. For example, St. Francis, in his rule, made out that he would offer Mass every day at 9 a.m. Well, of course, there were people that came to the bishop's Mass, and they wanted to see him afterwards. But a priest, much less a bishop, is meant to kneel down and make a proper thanksgiving after Mass. He didn't want to keep the people waiting, so this is what he did. He said the short prayers of the official thanksgiving after Mass, and then he went and he took care of all the people. Then when he was finished, when things were quiet, he would go back to church and finish his thanksgiving. It's true that back then their lives were quite different, but the same principles of St. Francis can be applied to our own life. They can be applied too, Father Cicada reminds me, to Sunday giving. That is to say, you want to think in advance of the money that you will give to the church, your tithe. You'll use your envelope, and should you happen to miss a Sunday, you'd always put it into the mail so that we can count on the regular report. If you do your duty in that way methodically, Father Cicada, who's the official bill payer around here, could do his duty methodically as well. He confided in me that the Duke bill arrived yesterday, and he was filled with a terrible sense of a coming tempest, so he didn't even dare open it. But I am sure, after the fortification of the Sunday Mass, and counting on your good methodical approach to giving, that he'll be able to do his duty as well, and that in a very calm way, with enough money in the account to pay the bills. After method comes meekness. How important is meekness? St. Francis de Sales said, if there were any other virtue more agreeable to God, our Lord would have named it. But he describes himself but once in the gospel. He says, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and humble of heart. This meekness, which restrains our sense of anger or of wrath, is built upon a proper love of neighbor. St. Francis de Sales once, in a truly difficult period in which he was under attack, confided to his friend St. Jane de Chantal that should our Lord ever make it a commandment not to love our neighbor, he would find that very hard to comply with. St. Augustine teaches that we must avoid anger because it's like a fire, or it's like the flu. It's catchy. And just a little spark or a little tiny bug is enough to consume you. And if you don't get rid of anger, then by the next day it is liable to harden into hatred. St. Francis de Sales never allowed himself, as far as he could control it, to be angry. And sometimes he refrained from even responding a word to someone because he knew if he did, it would be too much of a temptation for him. That terrible genie, once it gets out of the bottle, is very hard to get back in. Do you remember, 10 years ago, I told you a couple of stories about St. Francis de Sales, about that time in his life during which he was under terrible attack. He had tried everything with a certain couple in the parish of the diocese who were causing a scandal. And he felt nothing would work and that he was obliged before God to denounce them from the pulpit, something he did with greatest of reluctance. He did so, and they were so angry at him that to get revenge, one of them forged a letter in his hand and the style of his handwriting so as to compromise the saint morally. He said not a word in his own defense. Now, the devil always knows that that's a good time to double up. So there was a certain man in the diocese, a lawyer, as it happens, who for some reason hated Francis de Sales. And around that time, he had founded the first of his convents of the Visitation. And there were nasty stories going around about how young and attractive were all of the sisters of the bishop there in his convent. The man put a rather disgusting and suggestive notice up on, he posted it. Back then they didn't have the internet, or I'm sure he would have used that, but he just posted it on the door. St. Jane was furious and she wanted him denounced to the police, but St. Francis would hear none of it. He came across the lawyer in the street one day and he shook his hand and he said to him, looking him in the eye, "I assure you, my friend, were you to poke out my right eye, I would still view you with love for my left." And as a matter of fact, in due time, the man was won over, and he had the occasion to offer him charity of actually receiving one of his daughters without the required payment of the dowry into that same convent of the Visitation. And that he could do because he prayed. M.P. Meekness by means of prayer. And thirdly, Mary, of course, by means of prayer. There was going abroad and had great influence at that time in Catholic circles, the heresy of Calvin, predestination. And our saint was a young university student in Paris, and the thought, the temptation seized upon him of a deep spiritual despair. He thought to himself, "I am damned." And he felt there was nothing he could do about it. And he was cast into the deepest darkness of soul for a long time. Finally, he went to a certain church of St. Stephen and knelt before Our Lady's altar, and he prayed, "Dear God, if I must go to hell, as it seems I must, at least in my short life on earth, let me never offend you once, but let me love you." And after that, he said the Memorare, "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known." And as he said those words, such a peace flooded his heart there at Mary's altar, which never left him again. Later on, he made a pilgrimage of thanksgiving to Our Lady's house at Loreto in Italy. And there in the Holy House, he knelt and prayed. And in addition to the peace, there came into his heart a fire, but it was a fire of God's love, a fire that was never to go out during his life. In gratitude, he made a vow to say the rosary every day, and he actually wore a rosary on his bishop's cincture so as to remind himself and to be able to use his rosary when time permitted during his busy day. St. Francis de Sales used to say that the proof of a good sermon is not that it is praised by people, but rather that it be practiced. Whether or not this was a good sermon really doesn't make much difference. What makes a difference is this: if you will put it into practice. M.P. times 3. We can all remember that. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.